Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. It just seems every time we assemble ourselves together and just sense the presence of the Lord here, and the music is just right on target, and it just helps us to draw closer to Him. And so what a blessing it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles, that's right after 1 and 2 Kings. You find 1 and 2 Chronicles giving us a little more insight into the kings over Israel. We started a new series last Wednesday night, and we gave you just a little bit of an introduction into the life of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, and the Bible has much in the recorded about King Hezekiah, one of the very few good kings to ever reign over the Israel, whether it be the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom or the combined kingdom of Israel. If you remember, there was a combined kingdom under Saul and David and then Solomon. And then right after Solomon, we find there was a divided kingdom. And there were 10 tribes known as the northern kingdom of Israel. And then there was 2 tribes that was known as a southern kingdom of Judah. And so that makes up the 12 tribes that were under Saul and David and Solomon, and now they've been 2. And Hezekiah was the 13th of the kings of Judah. And he was raised under the influence of an evil father and king, whose name was Ahaz, who did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he was raised, that was his father, and he was raised under his influence. However, God placed godly influences in his life. And you'll find that to be true, that if you seek the Lord, you're going to find a godly influence. No matter where you're at around the world, if somebody wants to know God and they diligently seek the true God of creation, God will bring direct influences into their lives to help them, whether it be missionaries or a radio broadcast or maybe a friend or whoever it might be. But God will open doors for that individual who is diligently seeking the Lord to find the Lord, because He wants to be found. He wants people to acknowledge Him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance. And a person cannot repent of sin unless they acknowledge and understand what sin is. And so that's what God is doing. And so here we find that he was raised under a ungodly influence of a father and of a king. But God placed godly influence in his life in a mother whose name was Abijah, and a man of God, which was his spiritual advisor, which was the prophet Isaiah. And we studied that last week, and then we studied some of the 4 things that were going to be the highlights of the life of Hezekiah that we'll be getting into as we go on. But Hezekiah turned to the godly influences and became a godly king. Much like Moses. Moses was being raised as Pharaoh's son, by Pharaoh's daughter. And yet Moses chose the influence that God allowed him to have in his own mother who was nursing him. And it's a choice. When God gives us a free will, we will never be accountable for something that we didn't have a choice. We couldn't avoid, or we couldn't keep from happening. You never give an account for that. You will give an account, and we'll see in just a little bit, for our choices and what we can change, the decisions we have made. And influences usually is what leads us to making the decisions we do of life. So Hezekiah turned to the godly influences of his mother and of his prophet Isaiah. So go ahead and stand with me here. We're going to be reading here 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 down to verse 5. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you tonight, again, we thank you for opportunity to be in church and for all those who have taken advantage of that opportunity and what we've already experienced just being in your house tonight. Thank you for it. But now as we have looked into your word and we see this introduction of King Hezekiah, and we know that you have given us much in the example to look to and to be blessed by and to be helped by. So I pray that you'd help us to fully understand the historical fact about King Hezekiah, but also help us to receive the biblical principles that we can still apply to our lives in this 21st century. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So at age 25, Hezekiah became king of Judah. 25. Both the kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes, were in horrible shape. When Hezekiah began to reign as king of Judah, Israel would be taken into Assyrian captivity. Because after the division of the kingdoms, they never had one godly king. They continued to get farther and farther away from the God of creation. And so they would be taken into Assyrian captivity. And Judah was positioned to follow. They were almost in as bad a condition as was Israel. There wasn't much hope that Judah could be turned back to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, look there with me if you will, verses 1 through 4, it tells us, gives us a little, I want you to get in your mind a picture of the society in Judah. Israel, I mean, they had already gone to all wickedness, almost like it was before the flood. And they were in terrible, such a situation. The society was evil continually. There was no desire to look to God. And Judah, under Ahaz, look what it says about this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, this was what Hezekiah was raised under his father Ahaz, and he's seen this condition. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. The example of David goes all the way back. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom that would be taken into captivity. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. So he's got the people now with statues of Balaam and Baal, and they're one of the most horrific, worships was the worship of Baal, the most ungodly, the most immoral worship. Most of their worship was based on sexual desires and all sorts of different things that would take place here, all kinds of sexual relationships. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Himnon and burnt his children in the fire. His own children he was offering up as sacrifices to heathen gods. That was a part of society back in those days. I mean, we look back into history and you'll find that there was that kind of worship in many different areas. Heathen worship of sacrificing human sacrifices to their gods. But this was Israel. This was a kingdom of that God had established and gave them David and Solomon and had the most powerful army on planet Earth at that time. Solomon being the wisest and the wealthiest, and the whole world looked to Solomon and his kingdom that they might learn from him, that they might be able to have such a kingdom themselves, the whole world. And now at this time, they're sacrificing their own children to Baal worship. And after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord has cast out before the children of Israel, that's the land of Canaan, that's what they were warned against, because that's why God was using Israel to destroy the inhabitants of Canaan and giving that land to his children, because the inhabitants of Canaan were evil and God was judging the land of Canaan through the nation of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So they had completely shut down the temple that Solomon had built. Completely done away with the worship of God and the acknowledgement of the priests that were there to represent God to God's people. They had closed the doors, they had turned their back on God, and they were doing everything that they possibly could to anger God. That's a society. That's why Israel was just a little bit worse, and God gave them up and allowed, he raised up a Syrian army to be able to come in and take Israel, the 10 northern tribes, into captivity, and he was getting ready to allow them to take Judah into captivity. Both kingdoms were in horrible shape. Yeah. Evil society, no desire for holiness. I want you to think about the United States of America. The immorality that is promoted today. The ungodly lifestyles that you'll go to jail if you speak against, because they have made that which is evil good in their own minds and their own hearts. And they take that which is good, which is wholesome and healthy that God established, and they call that evil. Lawlessness. I don't know we've ever experienced the lawlessness that we have in society today in the United States of America, because this great nation and was based on the Ten Commandments and the judgment of God, based on disobeying and turning your back on the commandments of God. Corrupt leaders. But basically, all things rise and fall on leadership. But at least in this great nation, that is more of a charge against voting. The freedom to decide who you're going to elect as your leadership, who's going to establish the laws and going to spend the money. Now, I want you to stop and think about churches. Wow. in just our lifetime, have we not seen churches completely changing what they preach? How they worship? No separation? Not much different than the world? No salt? Or an influence that's different than the world? No evangelism? Now I want you to stop and think about homes. No worship. Sunday. Christian Nation. Special. Used to be special. I mean, that's history. There's no doubt about that. You don't lose sight of history. We honored the Lord's Day. We honored Sunday. Even those that wanted to do some bad things wouldn't do it on a Sunday. Because they had a fear of God. Even if they didn't want to worship God, they had a belief in a fear of God. No worship in the home. No separation in the home. No spiritual leadership in the home. And then I want you to stop and think about what's going on and what we're studying here with Hezekiah and what he inherited as being the king who has just began to reign in Judah. And that's where we're at. That's what God's given to us. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years. He would reign 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. So he's taken this at the age of 29. But he would be the right person for such a time as this. Why would he be the right person? Turn back to 2 Kings. It gives us the very same story. Like I said, the Kings and Chronicles. Chronicles gives us a little more insight into a lot of the different kings and what's taking place. So these four books of the Bible helps you to understand more about the kings of Israel. And 2 Kings in chapter 18 and verse 5, it says this about Hezekiah. In chapter 18, it reveals in the first of it that Hezekiah was now reigning, but we find recorded in the book of Kings something that's not recorded in the book of Chronicles, but we have it here, concerning this 25-year-old who is now faced with an evil society that's getting ready to be taken into captivity by Assyria. He sees Israel, the 10 tribes that used to worship God and had godliness in their lives, and he sees them taken into captivity. And now he's the king of Judah. Chapter 18, verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. The Bible says there was none like him. He was more like David than any of the other kings that would follow David. But as far as in the divided kingdom of Judah, there was none before him like him. Neither would there be none like him afterwards. That says something about the testimony of Hezekiah. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. Stay focused on God. But kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Realized that God was the one to establish the commandments for society. God was the one to establish morality. God was the one to establish law and the judgment of sin. And the Lord was with him. Because of this, the Lord was with him
and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. When Assyrian king, and we're going to study that, he comes up against Judah, and he would not bow down to this powerful worldly nation of Assyria. So that's what we find there in 2 Kings about him. The right person for such a time that society was going through, Israel was going through. Can I tell you, if you truly love God and desire his will for your life, you too are the right person for such a time as this. I want us to be able to see Hezekiah as a born-again believer, given a position of leadership, giving a position where he could establish a testimony, giving a position to influence his world, his country, his people to get back to serving God. And he saw himself as the right person in such a time that he was living. And listen to me, God is the one that gives us life in whatever time that you are living in. And you are, if you love God and you desire God's will for your life, then you are the right person to make a difference. In your home. In your home. There was no worship. There was no separation. There was no spiritual leadership in the home. You can establish that in your home. You can establish the worship of God in your home. You can establish the separation from the world in your home. You have to live in the world. I mean, we are all having to work in this world, and we are not to be secluded. No, how can you be a witness if you're secluded? We're not to keep from going out into the world. We are to keep the world from coming inside of our homes. We're to keep the world from coming inside of our hearts and our minds. But we are here to represent Jesus Christ to the world. But we have to see ourselves as the right person at the right time for such a time as this. And it begins in your home. Would you say your home is what it ought to be in worship, separation, spiritual leadership? That's something you can change. You personally, like I said, you can control what's going on inside of you. You control your decisions and your actions, and it's your home. We just come through a series on the home, and it's your home. You better make sure that you've established it for the blessings of God upon it. Your church. You've heard me say this before because it's so true. The least any Christian should do is to support a biblical church. That's the very least we ought to be doing. Supporting a biblical church. What's a biblical church? A church that has the doctrines of Christ, a church that has separation, a church that is the salt of the world. The earth and the light of the world, a church that is evangelizing the world, obeying the Great Commission, doing what we did last Wednesday night. What a tremendous blessing that was to be able to know that we're a part of doing that much for missions and taking on the new missionaries and being able to support missions projects and being able to do everything that we did. That's a tribute to the people of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and your giving to Faith Promise Missions, which allows us to do what we do for missions, which is what God has us here as part of it. You're the right person for such a time in your home. You're the right person for such a time in your church. And you're the right person for such a time in the United States of America. Need to know what God would have us to do in each of those areas and make sure that we're doing what God would have us to do, that we're representing Christianity, we're representing Christ, and we're not anti-Christ in any of the areas where anti-Christ is flourishing today in America concerning all the things we just talked about. So what did he do? He saw himself as being the right person at the right time. He focused on God. He focused on David, the king, as an example before him. What did he do? Verse 2, look back with me to our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And this is key right here. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Everything we're doing in all aspects of our lives, are we focused on what's right in God's eyes instead of what's right in our spouse's life, what's right in the church's eyes, what's right in the world's eyes, what's right in on and on and on? Are we focused on the right? Because my right is not right unless it's in agreement with his right. Yeah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He set out from the beginning of his reign to do right. Set out in my own life, once you get saved, I'm going to learn what's right and I'm going to do it. That's a decision that every individual needs to make for themselves. When I get married, I'm going to establish the kind of home that God wants me to establish. When I'm in the world, I'm going to be the light that the world needs. I'm going to be the salt that the world needs. My testimony is what I have to offer. He knew from his learning, from his Isaiah, his preacher, his spiritual advisor, and his mother. They helped him to understand what was right. He knew from his learning that what it takes to have, that's what it takes to have God's blessings upon your life. He wanted God's blessings upon not only his life, he wanted God's blessings upon Judah. And if for Judah to have God's blessings upon Judah, then Judah would have to turn back to God and do what's right in God's eyes. The greatest educational need for all today is to learn what's right according to God. There's a lot of philosophies out there on how we need to educate our children, how we need to educate people as they go through school. And most of that is so far from the Word of God. Most of what is focused on in the world has to do with the education of global warming and the education of what your gender is. As you shouldn't be able to tell and you shouldn't be able to understand, but they've got to complicate that, which is very simple. And they lose sight of common sense for the most part. The greatest educational need for all in the world today, not only in America, but in the world today, is what's right according to the Creator God that is on the throne of heaven. Because he was right, doing right in the sight of the Lord. You know what that tells me and should tell you? That God is an eyewitness to everything. An encouragement for those who are doing right, But it should also be a warning to those who are not. In the book of Proverbs, let me read a couple of Proverbs here to you. Proverbs chapter 15, write them down so you can go back and study them or read them for yourself. But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, it says this: "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Hezekiah would understand that God was an eyewitness to everything that was taking place, and he was going to make sure that he was going to do right in God's eyes. And God would see it all. Over the book of Proverbs in chapter 5 with this. Let me read this to you. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says this: "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, God, pondereth all his goings." He understands what motivates man. He understands why you do what you do. There's never an excuse for wrong behavior. There's always reasons why people do what they do, but there's never an excuse. And God sees it all. Sometimes if you're aware of God seeing what's going on, it might change what you do and what I do. An encouragement for those who are doing right, and hopefully a warning to those who are not, because in Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, it reveals something to us that are very important. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, it says this: "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord," and he sees everything, "and I've written it down for you so you know I see it all. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Don't have to ever worry about giving account for anybody else, but you will give an account for yourself. And as I live life knowing that I'm going to give an account for myself, I better live life as Hezekiah would live his life, knowing that God was an eyewitness to everything he did, every thought he had. So what Hezekiah did for Judah, as we're studying here, we're getting ready to close here for tonight, but first and foremost, he did what was right in God's eyes. That's what the best thing he could do for Judah. The best thing you can do for your home, the best thing you can do for your society, the best thing you can do for your world, the best thing you can do for your church is to do right in God's eyes. And once he had established to do right in God's eyes, he realized what was needed to help people to continue to do right. He would reestablish God's place of worship. Because outside of God's place of worship, you can't do right. You can't overcome all the evil influences in the world and in your life if you don't have the right influences in your life. There's no way that Hezekiah would have been able to overcome the influence of his father. Because every child wants to look to their father. And sometimes we find that fathers are not what they ought to be. And yet, as you have that in your life, there's another influence that you can look to. And God says, I'm going to bring a godly influence into your life. If you're seeking after me, I will give you an influence that will help you to do right. That influence became his mother. And if you would, his church. Because that's where he would hear Isaiah the prophet to present the words of God so that he would know the words of God so that he could apply the words of God. Verse 3, and we're going to close with this, but he says, He, in the first year of his reign, as he looked at what was going on around him, he understood what they had been through and where they were headed in the society and everything else. In the first year of his reign, he, the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Yeah. God's children have always known how important this is to God. From Old Testament to the tabernacle, when they was coming out of Egypt, the most important thing for them to stay focused on was the tabernacle, because it would lead them through the wilderness. It became a shelter by day, and it kept the sun from beating down on them, and it was the presence of God in the clouds. And at night, it became the fire. And at night, it would actually bring the heat. It was the presence of God all 24/7 as they was going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. It was the tabernacle. It was where they were positioned around the tabernacle, as God wanted the 12 tribes of Israel to be positioned around the tabernacle. There was the worship of God. There was the sacrifices given. There was everything that they needed. And what they focused on was the tabernacle of God, and that helped them through the wilderness. When they got into the promised land, it was Solomon building the temple, and God's glory filled the temple, and it was the temple that was the most important thing. Today, Christ established his church. Without the church, you cannot live for God as God wants you to live for him. You need the influence of the church. That's why you, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we need to make sure that the church we're in is preaching and teaching the truth. Make sure the church that we're in is accomplishing what God wants the church to accomplish, and that I'm a part of that because I need the influence so I can continue to make the right decisions, because I know that God is watching. He's an eyewitness to every decision I make. One of the first things that the old devil will attempt to take away from you is your church. People get upset with other people in the church. They leave the church. Listen to me. That's a devil. Taking something away from you that you need and you don't even realize it. You're letting pride, anger, revenge, stubbornness take away something so important as God's church, something that you need. If you're going to continue to make the decisions that God wants you to make in such a time as this, you need that right influence in your life. And the devil wants to take that away from you, and you can't let that happen. No matter what else takes place, no matter what you're battling in this life, you need the influence that God has brought into your life so that you can continue to be the servant that God wants you to be in such a time as this. And I'm going to close with this, with Malachi chapter 3. And of course, we know Malachi chapter 3, it's the last book before the New Testament. And he's talking about the storehouse. He's talking about tithes and offerings. And a lot of times that's what we look at there. But Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7, I want to read this one verse to you. Because they were without the blessings of God. And God wanted to bless them. And Malachi writes this: even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. You've gone away from my commandments. You've gone away from morality, my morality. You've gotten away from my testimony. You've gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? They were so blinded, they didn't even realize what they had turned away from and what they had turned to. But God says, return unto me. You want God's blessings on your life. You want God's blessings upon your home. You want God's blessings upon your church. If we want God's blessings upon our great nation, we have to return unto God. And as we return unto God, even if the nation doesn't, you can. And God will bless you. God will give you the strength and the help that you need to deal with whatever you have to deal with. Amen. The church can, and God's presence will be present. And when you come to church, you're going to sense a difference in a biblical church, and you're going to find that God knows what's going on. He knows the decisions that have been made. He knows, he sees all things. He knows exactly what to speak to you about. I search and I look to God, and I want to be all that God wants me to be as a preacher and a pastor, and I want to make sure I'm preaching. The most important thing that I do that affects the whole entire congregation of Lighthouse Baptist Church is the lessons that I preach, the lessons that I teach. And I want to make sure that I have the right truths. But can I tell you? It's God speaking to you as you need to be spoken through too. And sometimes it's in a song that you hear. And that's what you take home with you. Not that you shouldn't take something home from the preaching every time, but I'm not expecting you to, but I'm expecting every time you come, if you come with the right mentality, you come with the desire to worship, the desire to be fed, God's gonna give you something to take home with you. And something that you're going to need for such a time that you have in your life. With the struggle that you might be struggling with. With that temptation that you're about ready to give in to. With that desire, it's almost gone. Judah, not much hope. Judah was getting ready to be taken into captivity just like Israel. Until Hezekiah was introduced in the land of Judah. And this one man made a difference in his world. You can make a difference. I trust it's a help as we continue to study the life of Hezekiah. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Return unto me. Return unto me. God sees it all. He knows. If you have returned unto him, if you have a desire to return unto him, return unto me. And I will return unto you. I've got that hope for our families. I got that hope for churches. I got that hope for our nation. We would have enough that would turn back to God that would make a difference. Father, we bow before you and love you, Lord. Truth that you've given to us, and as we study the life of Hezekiah, what a blessing to see how you would work through this one man as king to make such a difference to so many. Help us to make the difference. Help us to stay focused on what you would have for us to do, the influence that we can have. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.